Imagine for a moment, if you will, finding yourself in the gear of a firefighter, deep within a structure, engulfed in flames, the heat surrounding you, the smoke making it impossible to see. Your every instinct tells you to escape.
It's a scenario that most of us, thankfully, can barely even fathom. The disorientation alone, one would think, would be enough to induce panic, but firefighters, they face this. This is their reality.
That's right. It is. And in those moments, where every second could be the difference between life and death, a technology known as LifeNet, it provides a beacon of hope. And that's what we're going to deep dive into today, how this system, this combination of wearable technology and a network of sensors, how it can actually act as a guide through those chaotic and dangerous environments.
It really is a remarkable coming together of really cutting edge innovation and a deep understanding of the very real dangers that firefighters are facing.
Before we get into the specifics of LifeNet, I think it's important to understand the limitations of the current techniques that are used for navigation when you're fighting a fire. And what we found in the research, especially talking to the experts who work closely with firefighters, is that firefighters depend very heavily on lifelines. And when we say lifeline, we mean, you know, physical ropes to navigate through these burning structures.
Right. And as you can, well, you can imagine, in the midst of a fire, these lifelines, they're far from perfect.
Of course.
They run into problems.
They do. And the research points out a lot of issues. You know, these ropes, they can get tangled. They can get snagged on debris. They can be accidentally severed. And they only, you know, extend so far. And yeah. All of these factors just increase the danger for firefighters.
Sadly, these limitations have led to firefighter deaths. And so the need for a better system, a more reliable navigation system is very apparent.
And that's where this LifeNet comes in.
Yeah.
And it was developed in collaboration with the Paris Fire Brigade. And it really tries to address these shortcomings. At its core, there are two parts to it. A wearable system for firefighters, and then this network of sensor nodes that are placed throughout the environment.
It's almost like giving a firefighter a map and compass that they can use even when they can't see anything.
Yeah, and we should mention, the research did mention the siren system.
Right.
While they're, you know, both designed for firefighter safety, LifeNet really seems to focus on the relative positioning, so figuring out where a firefighter is in relation to their surroundings, and importantly, how to get to the safest exit.
It's more than just knowing where you are. It's about understanding the safest way out.
Exactly. So let's break down how it works. Let's start with the sensor network.
Okay. So at the heart of LifeNet, you have these Relate Brick sensor nodes. And they're called that because they're about the size of a brick.
These aren't your ordinary bricks, though.
No, they're not. Each one has ultrasonic transducers to figure out its position. They also have a temperature sensor because, of course, fires are hot, and they can all communicate with each other.
And how are these nodes deployed? Like, how do they get, you know, situated throughout a building?
Well, that's one of the more clever parts, I think. They can be placed on the floor, as you might expect, but they can also be attached to the firefighter's boots.
Oh, okay.
And that gives the system a more complete picture of what's going on.
So you have these nodes all over the building. How do they actually create that virtual picture, you know, for the firefighters?
That's where it gets really, really neat. They use sound waves to measure distance and angle.
Oh, wow.
So imagine a node sends out this pulse of sound, and then it listens for that pulse to come back after it's bounced off other nodes.
Okay.
And by timing how long that takes, they can tell how far apart they are. And they can do this very, very accurately. We're talking about distances down to, like, 10 centimeters and angles to within 30 degrees.
That's incredible, especially in that kind of an environment.
Right. And that's how they create this virtual lifeline that we talked about. So each node can talk to the nodes around it. They form this chain of information that goes all the way back to where they came in. So if one path is blocked, the system can reroute the firefighter and find a different way out.
So it's almost like having a map that updates in real time.
Exactly.
And it's not only showing you where you are, but it's showing you the safest way to get out.
Right. And this brings us to the firefighter's interface.
So we have this network, and it's, you know, creating this picture of what's happening inside. But how does the firefighter actually get that information, especially when they're, you know, in the middle of a fire? I mean, this is where the wearable technology comes in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not talking about, you know, some clunky, old wearable from years ago. This is a lot more advanced than that.
Well, that's a relief, because I can't imagine trying to, you know, run through a burning building with a computer the size of a of a refrigerator strapped to my back.
Yeah, no, so the firefighter's interface is actually this OQO micro PC. So it's very small, and it connects to a head-mounted display. It's called an HMD, and that's actually built right into their breathing mask.
So they're getting these instructions, these visuals, right in front of their eyes, even if they can't see anything.
That's exactly right. And it's not just visual. It also gives them audio guidance through the headset. So they'll have these arrows on the HMD that show them where to go. And then they'll have a voice that's kind of confirming, you know, turn left here or watch out for that obstacle.
Well, that makes sense. In that kind of a high stress situation, having those multiple inputs, that would have to, you know, reduce the cognitive load and help them to think clearly.
Oh, without a doubt. And this is another area where LifeNet really shines. As things change, let's say a new obstacle appears or a pathway gets blocked, the system can adapt. It can find a new way out. It's constantly looking for that shortest, safest route based on all the information that it's getting.
So it's like having like a guardian angel.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, whispering in your ear, telling you which way to go through the smoke and the flames.
I think that's a very good way to put it. Now, it's important to note that even with all this advanced technology, LifeNet is still being developed. And right now, the way it's designed, those sensor nodes have to be placed manually. And obviously in a fire, that could be really difficult.
Yeah, I was just thinking that doesn't sound ideal, having to, you know, place bricks in the middle of a fire.
No. So, the researchers, they're exploring different ways to deploy them automatically. They're looking at using compressed air, maybe even robotic assistance that could go out and place these nodes very, very quickly.
Oh, that's really interesting. What other sorts of improvements are they working on?
Well, size is a big one. They want to make the nodes even smaller, even tougher. So they're easier to deploy, and you could use a lot more of them.
So even smaller than a brick.
Exactly. I mean, imagine nodes that are the size of, you know, of a coin. You could scatter those across the floor, and you would have this incredibly detailed sensor network. So there's a lot of potential there.
And it seems like it goes beyond just, you know, keeping firefighters safe. I mean, this has the potential to really change the way fires are fought.
You're absolutely right. It's not just about getting firefighters out safely, although that's obviously the top priority, but it's also about giving them the information that they need to do their jobs more efficiently. By giving them this real-time view of what's going on, LifeNet can help them to find victims faster, to assess the stability of a building more accurately, and even predict how the fire might spread.
It's like it turns firefighters from simply reacting to a fire into, like, you know, really orchestrating this precise response.
Precisely. And that ability to have that kind of insight and that level of control, that could save a lot of lives and prevent a lot of damage.
It really seems like the potential here, it reaches far beyond just, you know, firefighting.
Yeah, no, I agree. What we're seeing here is a great example of how something that's developed for one very specific purpose can actually end up having these ripple effects, and be applied in all sorts of other ways.
And it makes you wonder what other, you know, professions, especially those that are really dangerous, you know, what could they do with this kind of technology, with that, you know, guidance and support in real time?
Well, I mean, there are so many possibilities. You know, imagine search and rescue teams. They could use it to navigate through, you know, collapsed buildings, or hazmat teams going into into dangerous areas. They could all benefit from having access to that real-time data and knowing that, you know, they're moving safely, that they're moving efficiently.
It's almost like we're giving people this sixth sense.
Right.
An ability to understand their surroundings, even when they can't rely on their normal senses.
It's really fascinating to think about. And it also, you know, it raises some ethical questions as well.
Oh, sure, of course.
I mean, anytime you're talking about using technology in situations that are, you know, potentially life or death, you have to think about, you know, what are the ethical implications here?
Exactly. And what are we doing to minimize those risks? What happens if, you know, if there's a system error, you know, a glitch? How do we make sure that human judgment isn't being replaced entirely by these machines, by these algorithms?
These are all really important questions that we as a society, you know, researchers, developers, policymakers, we all need to be thinking about and discussing as these technologies, they become even more advanced and they start to be used in these really critical situations, you know, how do we find that balance between what the technology can do and the importance of human oversight? And that's going to be an ongoing, I think, an ongoing challenge.
And while those are all very important things to consider, I think there's no doubt that what we see with LifeNet, it's a huge step forward in terms of keeping firefighters safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it gives us a glimpse into what the future could hold, you know, a future where we can use technology to face danger and not only to face danger, but to face it with greater awareness, with greater precision, and maybe even with more confidence.
It's definitely a future worth striving for.
Absolutely. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into the world of LifeNet. We've talked about the inherent dangers of firefighting. We've gotten into the details of how this technology works, and we've even considered how it might be used in other fields and other ways, you know, in the future. But, you know, one thing is clear. This is an area where innovation is critical, and it's going to continue to move forward, especially, you know, when lives are at stake.